Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And on this episode, we will look at the Pacers' road loss to the Boston Celtics, a 109-100 loss at TD Garden, which was frustrating on several levels, but did include the Pacers giving a far better effort on the road. Just ran up against a good team that is playing well at home and going to be a tough playoff contender. We'll also dive in a little bit to see what might be harming Miles Turner as he continued his struggles of late on the floor, especially at the offensive end, which again puts a heavy burden on Jeff Teague and Paul George. But before we dive in, a reminder, please hit me up with any questions or comments. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Okay, so Pacers roll into Boston, came out, played a strong effort. You know, we discussed on the last episode about the Pacers raising their level of play on the road. And the last four games, the effort and the give up kind of has been really brutal as they've had double-digit losses on the road and really never put themselves in position to win those games. Now, in this game, Pacers struggled to slow down the Celtics, but after a strong start, they hung in, made a few runs, got down seven, got it back to be tied, went back down seven, and were down by that at the half. And then the third quarter, the Celtics were smoking. Pacers actually had a quality third quarter of their own, scoring 32 points, but Boston got rolling and finished with 39 points. Some of that due to a reserve rotation by the Pacers in the third quarter, which is not a good matchup normally, almost against any team at this point, but especially with the group the Celtics had on the floor at the time. And so the Pacers were left chasing the Celtics and falling behind by double digits, but did continue to battle back, and the game was felt a lot closer. They had a few opportunities to cut the lead down to one possession, but were unable to get a key bucket to apply that pressure. And then the Celtics were able to boost the lead back out. So while the Pacers never really, put themselves in a great position to win in the last couple of minutes, they certainly weren't run over and certainly had a lot better effort on the road in this one. Now, the key against Boston always is for Jeff Teague to try and neutralize Isaiah Thomas. And he was able to do that. Teague finished the game with 25 points on just 15 shots and dished out 6 assists. And compare that, Isaiah had 25 points himself, 5 assists, made 4 of 10 threes, and Teague made 3 of 6 threes. So, in the end, that's kind of a wash. Now, Isaiah was definitely making plays and very pesky out on the court. But again, Teague was able to do what he did, similar to the last time they were in Indy and the Celtics ran away. Now in that game, Teague didn't have much help. This time he did. Paul George had a monster game, scored 37 points, and actually got to the free throw line 13 times. Now, uncharacteristically for a guy who's leading the league in free throw percentage, he missed 3. So, maybe he wouldn't be leading the league if he shot more free throws, but hey, at least he got to the line 13 times in this game, but he also shot 13 of his 26 shots from behind the arc. And while, you know, he got hot for a little bit, that's just too many for PG. I'd rather have him, you know, try and keep going into the lane, get 20 free throws, and maybe have 8 three-pointers among the, you know, those field goal attempts. But that would definitely put a little more pressure on the defense. But that Celtics combo of, you know, Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder, they made PG work. And I thought he was going to get frustrated, potentially worn down and fade away, but he never did. To his effort, also played 42 minutes. Definitely wasn't going to come out in the second half, and didn't get much rest at all. Pretty much leaving that up to the timeout. So, you know, he definitely was letting them know he wasn't coming out in this one as they were trying to reverse those fortunes on the road. But unfortunately, just weren't able to do it. Weren't able to get enough other help in this one. You know, Miles Turner continuing to struggle. We'll dig into that a little deeper in a little bit. But again, the bench was a problem. The Celtics outscored the Pacers bench 32-18. And it was just one of those nights where, you know, there were a few positives that you could lean on, but then there always was a lingering negative. And, you know, the Celtics just execute better and, you know, play harder 1 through 9. And that's how many players are used in their rotation. Of course, Pacers use 11 players, which also is, you know, a negative. And the third quarter, you know, again, Pacers scored 32 but gave up 39. There was a late surge by the Celtics. And, you know, the Pacers had a lineup in there with at one point with LaVoy Allen and Allen Jefferson. When you're going against Kelly Olynyk and Al Horford on the other side, and unless Jefferson is just hammering Olynyk, which he wasn't, he got him once in the post, but that was it. Then the Pacers are, you know, a mess defensively, trying to keep up with that group. And, you know, that Celtics effort on both ends of the floor really puts pressure on any team, and did so on the Pacers. Their margin for error was not very big tonight, and every time, you know, they had trouble getting buckets, the Celtics were able to continue their flow and expand the lead. So, you know, again, here we have another positive in the game for the Pacers. LaVoy Allen earned some big minutes with his effort on the glass. He was eating everything up. Last year, Larry Bird said, you know, if there's a rebound, LaVoy will get it in the, you know, before the season. And always, you know, kind of leaning on that line whenever LaVoy comes in. But tonight was a night where he was getting it. And 9 of those 14 rebounds were on the offensive end. Saved several possessions. One time, 3 times, he got the offensive rebound before the Pacers scored. So his effort inside was much appreciated. And I think he played a little bit better when Miles Turner was in there. Turner found him with passes a couple of times. But overall, you know, he played better, you know, except when Al Jefferson was on the floor. And that's just a problem. That matchup is not good for the Pacers. And at some point, that rotation, which, as we mentioned, had 11 players tonight because you had Christmas also playing some minutes. And Christmas played pretty well while he was in there, active defensively and on the glass. And but Pacers also used Aaron Brooks again in the reserve guard rotation, along with Monte Ellis, and then Glenn Robinson played a few minutes and actually got caught trying to help towards the end of the half, and gave just enough airspace for Avery Bradley to knock down a three at the buzzer, which was a killer because the Pacers had cut into Celtics' lead at that point. Again, at the end of the third quarter, Marcus Smart, who had just gotten absolutely leveled by LaVoy Allen away from the play on the Pacers' offensive possession, which ended in a bucket. Smart was fuming, took the ball with like 4 seconds left and just bowled his way down the court, and Aaron Brooks ran into him. He heaved the ball up, it went off the glass and in, got the foul, and just, again, expanded the lead right before the quarter. So for every little thing the Pacers had going, again, the Celtics hadn't answered. And a lot of that was due to their, effort. They're just a team that plays balls to the wall and they execute quite well. Their bigs can pass. Olynyk had some great interior passing. Tyler Zeller had some good minutes for them off the bench. They kept showing his dad, who was in town, watching the game there and watching Cody on his phone as the Hornets were also playing against Orlando. So again, Pacers keep their streak of alternating between wins and losses going, drop to 36-35, and now head home to face the Nuggets on Friday. Hopefully the return home will help Miles Turner. Something is wrong. The kid's offensive game is shook. His confidence is shook. His, the easy flowing perimeter shooting off the pick and pops and even stepping out to shoot threes that we saw early in the game has disappeared, and he is really going through what seems to be a mental battle with it. Tonight you could see he was a little hesitant to shoot. He passed up some shots. Again, I mentioned some good interior passing, but it looked like in some of those instances he could have made an offensive play himself, but instead was happy to give up the ball. But he did step up late in the game. There were two possessions where the lead was down to 7 and then down to 6. And he had a shot and took it both times, clanked it. Actually, first time the lead was down to 7, had gone back to 9, and then he missed. But then the lead got back down to 6, and Turner had an open shot. And, I mean, he missed it and missed it badly. And from there, you could tell he just was not playing with any confidence. Even, as a free throw shooter for the year, he's been at around 80%, but he missed 2 free throws badly tonight. And in his last 5 games, he's only made 6 of 10 free throws. Looking back, really his last 10 games, he's only scored in double figures 3 times, and he's averaging 8.7 points per game. Where he's been averaging well in the double figure. For most of the season, he'd been at 15 points a game. Now he's scoring about half of that. Again, I mentioned he was 6 of 10 from free throws in the last 5 games and, really looked bad tonight. He's 0 for 9 from 3 in March, the whole month of March so far. Only took 9 threes, but also hadn't made any. Now, at the end of the game in Boston, he shot his 10th three of the month and drained it. But, of course, this was when the game was over and there were, less than 10 seconds left. Brought the deficit within 10 for the Pacers. So, a little window dressing. But, again, it was not in the flow of the game, in the heat of the moment. Needed a big shot. 3 from Turner. But, hey, maybe seeing that go through the rim, he can pack that on the plane with him and take it home. And maybe that'll help his confidence a little. I don't know. Something's got to happen because the Pacers need him. And I've said it again. I'll probably say it 10 more times before this season's over, assuming they get into the playoffs. But it is, tough to rely on 20-year-old to have a huge, consistent impact. And the Pacers are going through a valley right now with Turner and have to ride it out. On a night when Teague and PG step up with big games, you got to have your third option, and that's what Turner is now, especially with Thad Young, struggling with his wrist injury. You really need that third option to come through, and, he's just been struggling to do that. So hopefully he'll right the ship a little bit, get things right. They're really going to need him in the postseason. And, of course, I'm assuming they're going to make the postseason because they're going to have a home game coming up. Things will change with this team. But, again, I did like the effort they showed in Boston much of the night. If they get locked up with the Celtics in the playoffs, it's going to be a tough matchup. But it would be fun. At this point, it looks like, if the Pacers hold on to that 6th spot, which is no given, the Bucks are, breathing down their neck. And just now a half game behind the Pacers, and they have the tiebreaker. So really, once things level up, when you look at the Pacers and Bucks even in the loss column. They kind of have that tiebreaker and can jump up there above the Pacers even with just one win. But on the good side, the Hawks also lost on Wednesday night, and the Pacers remain a game behind the Hawks. So, again, if the Bucks keep charging hard, they might just jump over both the Pacers and the Hawks. And we might find that that last game of the season against Atlanta will be for playoff positioning and should make for a good finale at the Fieldhouse. So the quick takeaways from the game, better effort on the road, not good enough. Big game for Paul George, maybe a few too many three-pointers. Good on LaVoy Allen for working his butt off on the glass with 14 rebounds and 9 on the offensive end. But really, let's keep an eye on Miles Turner and hope that he can shake the slump that he is in and get some confidence shooting that ball because they're really going to need it. You know, his defense is not good enough to be the sole reason he's on the floor. You know, while he can block shots, he still struggles with the full team defensive assignments and needs to make some of that up at the offensive end, and he's got to get that confidence back. I'm sure he will. I know one thing with Turner, he's no dummy. He knows what needs to be done, and he'll be putting in the work to get things right. And, you know, a lot of times it just takes a few shots going in to get that confidence rolling. And, you know, once it gets going, I'm sure he'll start steamrolling and be ready for the postseason. So to wrap up again, the Pacers move to 15 games alternating between a win and a loss. If they win on Friday against Denver, they will tie an NBA record. I believe it was Buffalo. have that record for alternating between wins and losses. Now, obviously, beating Denver isn't going to be a given. All you have to do is think way back to the game in London when the Pacers enjoyed their time overseas a lot more than the Nuggets did. But the Nuggets enjoyed their time on the court at the O2 Arena a lot more than the Pacers did and absolutely blew them out. So I'm assuming it'll be a little bit different game played out here at the Fieldhouse on Friday. Pacers certainly owe the Nuggets something, but with Jokic in there for the Nuggets, he's going to be a problem and we'll certainly have to get something out of Turner to help neutralize that big fella a little bit. So the game against Denver begins a 3-game homestand, so something's got to give with this alternating wins and losses with 3 at home. Hopefully they can stack a couple wins together, and if not, that alternating streak might end on the road, because after the 3 at home, they have 3 on the road, which will not be easy. So again, thanks for listening. Make sure you check in with any of your thoughts on the game, thoughts looking ahead at the homestand. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.